Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning. Happy Friday. Friday, we're beginning a freeze for every Friday morning this month. America's Truth Unveiled. Where we talk about that have been topics throughout my lifetime of 51 years. It's been the topic of America and many areas around the world. Truth. But we'll talk about truth, good, bad, and the ugly. There are some good truths and also the bad and the ugly, which we've been dealing with much currently. And so we'll be talking about, you chime in, talk about your stories that you would like to share, something I've noticed with friends that I know personally and my social media friends, that many of us have been sharing stories. Even I share my stories of the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we all have a story to tell. And it's important for us to share facts and also facts of experiences that we deal with and have dealt with in life, in our lifetimes. But again, I must say and thank you for tuning in. If you're a first-time listener, like Mary, who called in on Monday and spoke with our special guest policing expert, Mr. Juan Cloy, on Monday, Mary told me that was her time tuning in, and enjoyed her perspective. I'm glad that she decided to speak with us, and looking forward to hearing from not only long-time listeners and supporters, and special guests. That dude, Mike, my homie, native of Mississippi and based in Dallas, was invited to come on the show. You remember he was part of the broadcast in the early days, back in 2011, and throughout the presentations of this awesome broadcast. So he was invited. Maybe he had a schedule conflict and he hasn't chimed in yet. I just chimed in, but he is looking forward to chiming in and talking with us on, of course, various topics. And you know, he's a sports lover too, and there are many things to discuss. As a matter of fact, one reason why I'm tardy this morning, but just had trouble with my host number logging in, but I decided to listen myself to Drew Brees' apology on Instagram. So I decided to listen, yeah, like right at 6:27, and so I responded to him. Also, I'm a friend and a fan of the team. They practice here from 2006 to 2008, and I was an avid spectator. And I was working on a piece. You know, I'm a blogger and I like to write, and I was working on a piece that I wanted to present to Playground Magazine, an article about the team, but as a freelancer. And at that time, and that happened to have been the time when Playgirl decided to go online, but I was working on getting an article in their printed copy, just with, you know, regarding the team and their health practices and how they keep in shape, and speaking with coach and the staff. But I pretty much, I support the protest. You know, one of my stance, and always been my stance. I support CAP. I support the players. I mean, I'm human. I'm an African-American female. I see injustices. I have experienced prejudice and injustices amongst my own race also. But I am a proud American, a proud patriot, and I have many friends who are immigrants that love America. I myself was being raised a patriot, and our late mom raised us to be proud of our country. But at the same time, mother even, you know, we're in Jackson, Mississippi. Mississippi knows a lot. And I know all across America, it's not just in the South, not just the Deep South has a checkered past, but the whole country, as we see now, has a checkered past and have a lot of wrongs that need to be righted. The world, as we see, if protests are proudly happening around the world. We all worldwide, you know, being a show that has a base, an international listening base. Yes, I'm based in America, but my listenership, number one, U.S., number two, Canada, China, U.K., and Morocco. And right now, those are the five top listening countries. So thank you to the worldwide listeners. Some shows are focused on their local community, which focus on is the entertainment lifestyle show. So focus on the world. We all connect. If we're in our local communities, state, nationwide, across the pond, around the world, we all connect on subject matters and support one another. And thank you, our friends, our family across the pond that are also protesting the horrific killing and the killings of others. Sending much love and condolences out to the George Floyd. But the Drew Brees comment is about being a patriot and a proud American, and about his grandfathers serving in the military. My family is a military family. My last name is the name of my mom's, our late mom's, late husband who was lost in the Korean War. My older sister and my late sister, my eldest sister, you all hear me? Shout out Tommy Ellis, her widow, his widow, his wife. My eldest sister, elder five, my mother had five kids. My last name is Williams, like my mother. Her father was a MIA in the Korean War. All of my uncles, except for one, I believe, served in the military. My late brother served in the military. Many of my cousins made a career being in the military, serving our country. A couple of my cousins are still in the military and are recently retired. You could see me shouting out my cousin Tierra Campbell, my late uncle, her dad, retired in the Air Force that we lost last November from Alzheimer's. She and her husband has an auto sports bar in Killeen, Texas. She not only served in the Army, but the Air Force like her dad. Cousins in the Navy, Army, all branches, I have relatives that served this country. Again, my brother had only been out the Army a year and a half before his untimely passing. I even served in JROTC in junior high, 8th and 9th grade. But when I brought it into this world in the Georgetown community, which was a very important part at that time in the civil rights movement. And speaking of the Georgetown community, Councilman Kenny Stokes is holding a peace rally tomorrow. The march will leave 833 Lanier past the home my family lived in, 630 Scott Street, and go to Palmero Drive, where the meetup would be at 12 and the peace rally would start at 2. Yes, there's a protest also beginning downtown, orchestrated by many young people that will be in front of the governor's mansion also at 3 o'clock on tomorrow. Yes, I'm in quarantine. Mississippi Department Health Department ordered quarantine until June 10th. I did get permission to be able to go to doctor's appointments and do essentials as long as I wear a mask. It's mandatory in Jackson and Mississippi to wear a mask anyway, like I believe CDC is required across the country. But it would be lovely if I could get the okay where I could go to that event. But we must do what we can do to slow the spread And it's even when we're protesting, it's important for us to be, to follow the guidelines and be vocal, but at the same time be safe and not to spread and not to end up in a hospital bed anywhere. But back to Drew Brees. We ask people, well, all of us, not back to Drew Brees, but all of us, we ask each other to be true. We ask each other to be open and honest. Just because someone has been open and honest about their views, their opinions, does not mean that they're being insensitive. We need to be educated. We need more understanding. Also look at it from Drew's perspective. Look at it from what I'm saying as a Black American female, as a proud patriot. No way will I kneel to the American flag. I hold my hand on my heart, singing the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance. This is my makeup, that's how I was raised. But at the same time, and like my cousin Linda, when she's always educating, talk to me, being someone who's part of the civil rights movement. Actually, Megar Evers, as a preteen, thrown into the grounds of the Mississippi Fairgrounds. I talked that she's patriotic, I'm a proud American, but at the same time, Cousin Linda, I like to bring to my attention, remember when this country was founded, Blacks weren't even considered complete human beings. You know, she always bring it to my memory when the documents and the constitutions and the Declaration of Independence were crafted and drafted and signed. She always reminded me, oh, but remember, Blacks weren't even considered complete human beings in those documents. But at the same time, if you're born American or you become American and you're seeking to become American, it's important to be a proud American and at the same time, right the wrong. Okay, well, Drew, I'm sharing my own opinion, my truth. Why should I be forced to say something that I don't mean? It was good of Drew to apologize. But at the same time, look at people that are true Americans, true patriots. I support the protest. I always support a cape. And at the same time, I supported Jay-Z. Some people took sides. Oh, Jay-Z shouldn't have taken that position with the NFL. But we all need to break ground and break that. You know, they talk about the glass ceiling when it comes to females breaking the glass ceiling. Blacks and African Americans and people of color, Black and brown, always busting through the door, breaking the glass ceiling, creating our own opportunities. So do we have to choose to be a thing that we believe in and what our forefathers, free people or slaves, have gone through and what we are going through? Do we have to choose? I'm a proud American. But we have rights that we need to, we have wrongs that we need to correct. And I mentioned on Wednesday, we need to take 8 minutes and 47 seconds. I was one of the first people to reshare that horrific video. I was one of the first people to reshare that Sean Reed video back in October the 8th, 9th. I was in self-isolation. I thought that was the most horrific video I had ever seen on Facebook. Then, on Tuesday morning, my sister is my witness. A video pop up on my feed. And for some reason, Monday and Tuesday, I kept getting exclusive videos. And I'm like, what is this? Oh, my God, I could not believe my eyes. I just burst into tears. My sister usually get a lot of exclusive news here in Jackson, Mississippi, because a lot of news happened here. And she lived in Dallas 30 years, so she and I usually get like exclusive news, and she and her kids get exclusive news. So I'm like, have you seen this video? And she was like, no. I'm like, this man is literally being killed on video by cops in Minneapolis where Prince was born. And she was like, oh, my goodness. So right after I was still crying, and that's when the health department called me to ask me if I knew I had been exposed to COVID-19. And I told them yes, and they let me know about I've always quarantined, but I had to be under government quarantine for 14 days. So June 10th is my last day. But we have a caller, but let's take 8 minutes and 47 seconds to show respect to the memory of George Floyd, his family, and those that are protesting. I'm protesting right now on my podcast. We have a caller. Someone's calling in to share their thoughts on our thoughts about us unveiling the truth, good, bad, and the ugly of America, the truth. And a lot of times, a lot of people always thought the truth and the ugliness was in the Deep South. Not just in the Deep South, we see. Let's take 8 minutes and 47 seconds to show respect, or even 9 minutes to show respect in silence to the memory. I know it's going to be quiet, but we're in prayer and we're in silence and showing respect. Because that's a long time to be holding your knee on somebody's neck. And then other officers holding the rest of his body while people are begging and pleading, and the man himself begging and pleading. Just evil. Wait, we had a caller calling in, but hopefully they'll call back again. But let's take a moment of silence in the name of Jesus Christ and in your faith. Let's take a moment of silence in the memory of George Floyd. And I hope the caller calls back also. That was on hold. So right now it's 7:11. Seven twelve. So exactly. At 7:20, would be 8 minutes and 47 seconds. I'll put some prayer in too, because we need the prayer. So we can take a moment of silence, and also I will share prayers also for our leaders and for all of us. So there will be some silence, but also I will share prayers also for our leaders, our national leaders, our international leaders, our local governments. Praying for local leaders. This is from the book, The Power of Prayer. Praying for local leaders. The prayer of a righteous man, powerful and effective. James 5:16. Lord, I pray that the leaders in our city, and pray for your city and your local areas. Lord, I pray that the leaders in our city, the city I'm in is Jackson, Mississippi. Praying for those in Dallas, those all cities, all towns. Lord, I pray that the leaders in our city and our local areas, those in Minneapolis, the leadership in Minneapolis, would lead with integrity, honesty, and fairness. May they be hungry for your power, not for temporary control of others. May all the people I pray for now lead with justice, grace, and mercy. as they serve our community for your glory. The mayor, our judges, court officials, members of the police and fire departments, and other civic leaders. And here's a prayer for state leaders. I think I might need to start wearing reading glasses. Lord, I pray for the men and women in our state government that they will make good policy in humility and godly wisdom. Bless their lives as they balance their work and families. Give them the strength and integrity to govern wisely. May all the people I pray for now be faithful stewards of their office and serve the people of our state for the glory of God's name. Our state representatives and senators and governor, our governor State Reeves, who is a praying man, openly, I mean, his Bible is right there always. And he'll tell you, even my neighbors have been talking about that, how when they have his Sunday talks, they're beginning to open up the churches, but he and his family are still doing their services at home and not to spread to slow the spread. Our governor and our state supreme justices. Now praying for our national leaders. The prayer is, I pray for our nation's leaders, and many of them, a shout out to Al Sharpton, and I think I might have to call back in. And not before I'm 8 minutes and 47 seconds up. Back to the prayer, and then I will take care of the beeping ones. Lord, I pray for our nation's leaders and ask that you would give them to make wise decisions to govern with integrity and to accomplish their task in ways that build up our nation. May all the people I pray for now bring glory and honor to your name as they serve our country. The President, the Vice President, Secretary of State, Homeland Security, Interior Treasury, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Transportation, Energy, Education, Veterans Affairs, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, the Attorney General, the National Security Service, the Director of National Intelligence, and the Supreme Court Justices. And also we pray for all international leaders also around the world. We pray for peace, love, and harmony, and we pray for equality and love and to be treated with humanity. And lastly, God bless America. I praise you, God. Thank you for this great nation. You have blessed America. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the freedom. And be heard and to vote for our leaders. We are a nation of diverse and independent people. Lord, and I pray we will respect each other. Help us to uphold godly values as we seek to honor the authority of those who govern our land. Please keep the United States united as one strong country that seeks your face and favor. But it's obvious. I mean, I've always heard, always been taught since a little girl, this is the melting pot. America is the leader of the world. And it shows yesterday how internationally we stand strong, all countries. Big shout out to the protesters, to the rioters, but the little it's hurting people. It's getting attention, but it's hurting people. It's hurting business owners. It's hurting people that patronize the businesses that were destroyed. And we're in the midst of a pandemic. And also, like the mayor of Atlanta said, you know, let's be safe. Let's practice social distancing, follow the CDC guidelines, and try to maintain our own health. Let's pray that we continue to slow the spread of coronavirus 19 and that the states, it, including the state of Mississippi, the states where it is spiking in, it takes a turn to decrease, and we win this silent war against coronavirus, COVID-19, because it's real. It's a real deal. Y'all know right now. I have been sharing information from the beginning, and then it hit us. It hit us in the unexpected. It's real. It does not discriminate from newborn to 100 plus. It does not. I have even seen stories where people that are like 100 have beat coronavirus, and amazing stories. So just a big shout out to those on the front lines also of dealing with us being vocal and speaking out. All those that are out there protesting, being arrested. It's just a big shout out to those who finally brought the other three police officers into custody and arrested them also. I've seen a story where the police officers that treated young people wrongly in Atlanta. Six of them have been arrested for just attacking young people and tasing them, busting their car windows out. I posted on my social media page. And also there's a story of a retired police chief, David Dorn. And many people are not speaking about him. One of my Facebook people has a vlog out about him, a blue-eyed white guy. He's speaking out about why his story is told about how he was trying to stop looters and he was murdered. So a black former police chief was murdered in cold blood. So I need to research more on that story and talk more. So it's just so much going on. People here that have been victims of police brutality here in Jackson, Mississippi, say Jackson, Mississippi need to focus on the police brutality that's been happening here. And they said they would be, one family said they would be marching tomorrow with the young people at the state capitol at 3:00 in remembrance of their family member that died at the hands of law enforcement only last year on Valentine's Day here in Jackson, Mississippi. Shout out to the good cops, and like police expert Juan Clore talked about, let's work on our community relations and also training law enforcement on all levels across the board properly. And there's been so many Facebook and social media interviews and meetings held on that topic. Even I was checking out Meghan Markle. Even she addressed police brutality to her high school graduation class on yesterday, and former President Obama town hall meeting was off the chain because he talked in depth about things that need to be done and things that we need to do regarding police brutality and racism in America. Oh, good, the caller has called back in. Also, so let's see who we have and what they would like to speak on. Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you for calling Cut the Shock Entertainment Report. So bad. It's nice to meet you if we don't already know each other.
I can hear your voice. You must be getting over the virus a little bit.
I don't have it. I was just exposed to it. My little niece had it, and she wouldn't even know she had it. I didn't have it. It's just I had to quarantine. Everybody in the household had to quarantine. So,
well, you know, the kids that come out of the kindergartens and first grade, they have everything. Some kids have everything.
Right, right.
But can we discuss?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Who am I talking with?
My name is Pianchi. I'm calling from either the Midwest or the Deep South. In the wintertime, I'm in the Deep South. Okay, let me ask a question now.
You like a conjurer to be a fly job? You're a fly job?
No.
Okay, I was a Tom Jordan.
I'm
enjoying myself. From Chicago to Dallas.
Yeah, enjoying myself. Let me ask you a question. Is there a national police department? That means that it's controlled by Washington, D.C., or the federal government. And the answer to that would be no. Matter of fact,
right.
There's 18,000 plus police departments in municipalities across this nation. And those municipalities control those police departments just like they do the fire department, just like they do City Hall, Public Works. But people think that every police department and its employees are supposed to act the same.
Right.
Now, what I mean about the same, if one municipality say it's okay to chase cars that's speeding and trying to run away from you, another municipality may say, no high-speed chases. One municipality may say, no-knock raids. Another municipality say, no-knock raids. So, ultimately, the policies of those police departments is on the burden of the people of that community to form a commission to set the policy for that policy, that police department. And for no other reason than they would be, the city, liable for any tort claims, or should I say settlement claims, in case somebody get hurt or they try to sue.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't sue the police officer directly because they have what's called, qualified immunity, just like a congressperson has it. Just like a senator, just like maybe judges have it. Prosecutors have it, too. You can't sue a prosecutor.
Right. Do you work in law enforcement or a politician?
No, I'm a citizen who take on my civic duties to understand how things work and how to correct them.
Right. Right.
And see, we have a society that has been molded into a certain way of thinking, therefore they action. Now, of course, nobody wants nobody to get hurt. But at the same time, people don't want to have crime running rampant in their areas. And then we have this race thing.
True.
Because did you know that you had 3 police officers shot, 2 killed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in April? You ever hear that?
Oh, and I'm someone that try to stay on it, and you want to know my honest answer? No.
Yes. All right. Now, let me tell you something.
In Baton Rouge, I'm in Mississippi, and I'm in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge, we used to get the local news.
Yeah.
Right.
You had two different black males that killed these police officers. You had one that stood over the police officer while he was laying on the ground and shot him repeatedly.
Oh.
And he would seriously wound another. In another case, you had a black male that killed a white police officer. Now, let me ask you something. If you had seen a video of him standing over this guy, repeatedly shooting him as he lay there, would that not have struck just what you're saying? Now, why come whites ain't out marching and protesting over that? Or even blacks, too, because they would be concerned. It's a life. It's because the news don't fit the narrative of the news, especially the news today. The news is out there drumming up a sentiment and drumming up this drumbeat like a football team is getting ready to go out to the field, and they get boom, 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 boom. We ready. Yeah, we ready. Well, that's what you've been influenced by the news.
The news hype us.
That's what you see.
We let the news trigger our emotion.
It's hype and emotion. I can name several other cases where, and I'm just saying this for a demonstration, and I don't think anyone
right.
should be getting killed for nothing. But I can show you a couple more cases, at least three where black males have killed white police officers within, say, 9 months.
Recently.
No, nothing said about it. And see, when you have your people, when you have these voices that come up, and you got black voices that do the same thing, too. They try to get blacks all hyped up. The police is no good, such and such and such.
Right.
But when you're a lady, if somebody's kicking in your door, you're going to pick
yes.
up the phone and do what?
I'm going to call the dispatcher. I have done that before, too. Yes.
That's right.
I'm going to call 911 immediately.
Absolutely. So that's unless we come to current terms to that, we have to come to terms that crime is crime, no matter who it is, and we shouldn't let ourselves be drummed up when you have something to happen between a black person and a white person, where the white person is inflicting it or the other way. We want justice. That's what we want. And until we demand
right.
it, see, your police department, citizens supposed to make sure that they are behaving and being trained accordingly. Now, that move, that position that the cop had, Mr. George, that was okay by the Minneapolis Police Department, which is the city of Minneapolis. It's been okay
right.
by of the 18,000 police departments in the country, some okay it, some don't.
Yeah,
and here's another
I heard
point.
That. That's, okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, ma'am. I don't want to talk. Do all the talk.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that is a movement that he often used just that the first time somebody died.
Yeah, but they've used it several times in the city. See, you may have it's designed in order to subdue a person until you can restrain them. That's what it is. Now, I don't want to get too much in this, that, and I'm just talking about the principle of things. Another thing.
Right.
Our young people should be taught that they have to comply. Because if a police officer comes to you, I don't care if it's a green police, a green colored police officer comes to you, and say,
right.
sir, I need to handcuff you until
yes.
I do my investigation. Well, you comply. You don't have court on the street saying, I ain't done nothing. I didn't do this. She done it.
Right.
But he done this. And so that's not what they're there for. They're there to do an investigation and see if there's a reason why they should arrest you. But they do have a right to contain you, restrain you, detain you. Because if they didn't detain you and you were guilty and you run off and commit another crime or harm somebody, then guess what? Now those people that was harmed represent a whole nother crowd. And they're going to say, why you let this person come over here and harm this? And you had him over there, him or she.
And that's what's been happening with the protests. The protests, they have come together for George Floyd, but on top of all other injustices that have happened.
Why come they didn't come together for the white police officers?
Exactly. And only a week before George Floyd's murder, here in Jackson, Mississippi, a young person that did not comply to the to a JPD officer almost met
mm-hmm.
his death by being choked to death. You might have heard about the story here. If you were listening Monday, police expert Juan Coyne spoke on it some. A black police officer nearly choked early 20s. Yeah, why didn't we march then? Because if the young man had passed away, I wonder if we'd been marching. But it was a big story on the news.
Right? You in Mississippi, right?
Right, and Dallas, Texas is my second home. Yes, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, born and raised. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. When you were a kid, okay. When you was a kid, if you was walking down the street doing past Miss Lula's house, cursing and everything, Miss Lula heard you cursing. What would she do?
Miss Lula would get on me. She would tell my mother.
Miss Lula would get on you. Miss Lula might spank your butt, wouldn't she?
Easily.
And Miss Lula?
What happened to take
Miss
the
village? Lula? Well, hang on for a second. Miss Lula would have spanked your butt. Now, let's go back. You got this black police officer, which may be Miss Lula's husband, from that type of culture. And you got this young black person that's highly disrespected, right?
Yes.
Well, then what you think the results are going to be? This child is being disrespected to this adult.
Right.
The same way you were disrespected to Miss Lula when she spanked your butt and sent you on home. So if we can say it's okay for Miss Lula, if we can make Miss Lula to do this, then why you don't think that that police officer, the black one who comes from the community, who was raised up under that type of discipline, why you don't think people will say, I'm going to let my little boy go with y'all. If he do something wrong, you know what to do with him to keep him in line. So why come that kid did not show respect to the authority when the authority asked them to do something?
Exactly. And it's in our upbringing, but it appears that parents are raising their children. Some parents
are not raising their children like that.
Kids like to respect. I mean,
you got people out there telling you you shouldn't whoop your kids. And, you know, when I was a kid, I'm going to use you as an example. And I think you're probably over 50 years old.
I'm 51.
Was a child, you done something wrong. Yeah. When you was a child, you done something wrong on Monday. You done something wrong that your parents told you not to do on Tuesday, Wednesday. What would you get a whooping for all of them? You probably get a whooping Friday because they was whooping you for old and new.
That's my older sister. My older sister, she would whoop me. Yes.
For old and new. You had one person that would do the punishment because they had been trained, instructed on how to do it. They ain't taking a skillet and hitting you upside the head. Right?
Right.
They was trained how to do it. Well, it's the same thing with your police department. You, as a community, supposed to make sure that the police is trained, whereas they apply enough force in order to contain a person so they can have their day in court. Now, if you are a police officer and you're trying to restrain somebody, should the crowd be coming up toward you and chanting and wanting to throw stuff at you? If the crowd should be doing anything, they should be telling, look, George, go ahead and comply and have your day in court.
Right.
Why are you struggling?
But George can bring you.
Right. In your struggle, you're going to hurt this person. Now you're going to have yet an additional crime on you, resisting arrest and assault of a police officer.
Right.
When you snatch your arm away, that there is resisting arrest. That's a charge.
Okay.
If you turn around and you push him or bump up into him, that's assault on a police officer.
Oh. Young criminals do that often, even some old ones, I think. When I watch those police shows, you often see that. I wonder, do the average criminal know this?
No, because they're not coming from a family where that's taught.
Right, you should respect authority, period.
You should respect authority. Your mother and father is paying for that authority. You follow me? You have to respect authority.
Yes, sir.
If they ask you to do something, do it. If it's something, they're not going to ask you to do something wrong. You're always going to think you're not guilty, but they are not the one to determine that. It has to happen in court. Now, these kids out here that's rioting and looting and burning up stuff, they harming themselves. One, you're instilling an attitude and a behavior that's going to be passed on. I'm sure it's going to be passed on to the kids. But where do you learn it from? Somebody had to pass that on to you. Somebody had to pass that on to
you. You are in a history book, just like the protest.
Taking somebody else's stuff. When you have people breaking your house, that's an example. They taking your stuff. When you have somebody carjack you, they taking your stuff. When you have somebody armed robbery, that's taking your stuff. They had to learn that. And now you got kids seeing this that's going to grow up and repeat that sometime in the future. It's harming you because those stores are not going to open back up, some of them. If they do open up, because of the insurance.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I brought it up on Wednesday during my commentary type show, and I choked up. I couldn't talk. I've been dealing with how to talk about the looters. I mentioned the looters,
well,
the people that was hard.
Yeah. Let me explain.
It's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah. A loaf of bread that costs $1.50 is going to probably cost $2.50 or $3 because they got to pay insurance. Their wholesaler, where they order their food from, they are not going to give them 30-day cash credit. They're going to say, you got to pay us before we even bring it over there because it's a risk. Then when the stores don't open up, you're going to have a void in the stuff you was buying. You're going to have a food desert and every other kind of desert. Now, let me ask you this. Blacks are always talking about we need to have our own business. We need to spend money in our own community.
Right. We need our own banks, our own stores, our own hotels.
You need to do all that. Well, you can't do it now. Because when you need to eat and get food, you got to drive over to the next county. And you got to spend money over there. You're going to have, if the businesses go out, if the business go out, they're not going to be there to contribute in a charitable way to your sports and athletic teams. They're not going to be there to contribute towards scholarships to your kids. All that's gone. Now, if your kids want to play organized sports, where it can't happen in your community, you got to go over to other people's community. And you know what they're going to say? Why are you coming over here? Why didn't you take care? Why didn't you provide these baseball fields, these basketball courts, these tennis fields? Why don't you provide that for your child? Well, we ain't got no money to. Why? The businesses ain't there. They're gone. Well, you burnt them out.
It broke my heart the other night. I watched the story of a lady that lived in a housing building.
Yes.
And they destroyed every grocery store that she shopped at that was close by.
Another thing, we talk about this.
She was crying. Mm-hmm. She was talking about where am I going to go shop for my groceries now.
I seen it. We talk about this, blacks and browns. In Chicago, when blacks was driving through Tino part of town, which is Little Village, Latinos threw rocks at the cars and told them to get the hell out of here. Now, you know why? When they look at the picture of the people that's doing that riding, they see black faces. So here you come, an innocent person who's against riding, and you just trying to go take care of some business. They gonna look at your face. Because they've been conditioned to see what went on. I don't want that here. I see these faces of these people who's doing it, and I think, oh my goodness, it's a threat, a perceived threat. because they got the same looking face, same color skin. And they know you don't live there, so they don't want you there. They're going to throw rocks at you like they did. That one woman busted out a window. She had her kids in the car. They told her to get out of here. They started shooting at some of us. Get out of here. That organization, Antifa, a white organization, which hate the system of America. They want to tear it down.
Period.
They instigated these rioters. They instigated that.
Right.
Because black people.
Even Trump called them out.
That's right. Black people learned a long time ago, we ain't going to be burning down our stuff because ain't nobody going to build it up. And we don't have the money to do it. You got places around the country today that was burned out decades ago is still there. Detroit.
Right.
Parts of St. Louis. Los Angeles. So that's where you're at. If you don't educate your children along the road of being responsible, give them a thorough education so they have something that they can demand a high wage and salary for. And there's a lot of them out there that's wanting it because they are asking immigrants to come in and fill those jobs. Trump said these are going to be for Americans.
Americans. Across the board, Americans.
Americans, which includes your kids.
Right.
Get them prepared.
Right.
Teach them that what you see in there, you don't do that under no circumstances. If they, you want them to be respectful to adults, no matter what kind of uniform they got on.
Exactly.
You understand? Okay, well, I'm going to get
out of here. Yes, I understand.
Tell somebody else.
Yes, and you make a, you make a point because that's my mother and my positive influences in my life. They raised me, my educators, my neighbors. You're right. We must respect people. My mother passed away at 86 in 2017. She, to the day she died, she always said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir."
Absolutely.
I know sometimes
that's
even
what
to some
like
of her new dogs,
myself.
And she would say, "Right." She would say, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." To me, she would say, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." To like a 25-year-old nurse, and they'd be like, "Why?" Say yes, ma'am, to me. And my mom would be like, that's courtesy. That's what you're supposed to do. You know? You're right.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Do we, we talk about the training of our police officers, but sound like we need to include more courses in our schools.
Like you train your kids, you're supposed to train your employees. You're going to receive training anyway. Any job you go on, you receive training. Being that you're going to be responsible for it, you got to make sure that the training don't create a us against them attitude.
Right.
That's
like
what
I spoke about early on the show. Like Drew Brees is getting so much for speaking as a patriot. But what we need to do is seek to understand what we've been through. You and I are proud Americans, just like Drew Brees. I mean,
absolutely.
Do we have to choose? I support the protest. I support cats.
Peaceful protest.
Like you were saying about upbringing. I was raised to love
respect
America, be a proud American. Yeah, no way. Speaking as a 51-year-old African-American female, no way will I kneel to the flag during the national anthem. But I do
not
support
on somebody
the protest
else's job anyway.
Right. You know,
that's not their job.
The
that's somebody else's job. People came there to see a football game. Ain't nothing they can do because back where they come from, they police working fine. It's up to you.
And he became blacklisted. And he became blacklisted. And that happens in everything. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, see, you got these groups out there. Some of them attorneys. You know why the attorneys do it? Because they know that they have opportunity to make money if you file a lawsuit. And they're gonna tell you if you get. if you get $3, I want one of them. I want 30%. If you get $300,
exactly.
I get 100. If you get $1,000,000, I get 335,000. No matter
right.
if you win, especially if you win.
Right.
So they make money off of this.
The attorney,
and listen to
the attorney
listen
for
the
family. You know, the attorney for the Ford family based in Jackson, Mississippi, he handled all those
Ooh.
Cases. That,
yeah, I know. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You always hear that you never
yes.
hear these people pushing that your kids get educated, well educated, high degrees. You know why? Because
uh-huh.
When you move up in another economic class, your whole
yes.
mindset changes. You don't want high taxes. You don't want competition from overseas because it's going to affect your business here. You want
right.
protection, like the Second Amendment. So when you get to the
yes.
point where you can demand respect, you won't be falling into them criminal situations. And then if they don't have
hmm.
nobody to be representing in court, they go out of business.
True. Hmm.
Okay, ma'am, I got to go.
Well, thank you,
so
and
really,
please call back.
I will. Thank you very much. Remember what we learned, right? You taught me and I taught you.
Is that what we learned?
Yes, what we learned. You told me, taught me something, you learned something from me. Okay, I'll see you later.
I
bye-bye.
I like that exactly. Thank
okay,
you. Happy
bye-bye.
Weekend. Bye-bye. That was awesome. That was our caller from the Mid-South and the Deep South. Midwest now. Love the Midwest, as you all know. Anyway, it just broke my heart when I seen what had happened in one of my favorite cities. I've never been to a city. How much I love the Nelson family and the Minneapolis, my friends in the Minneapolis area. And one thing that Prince and his sister talk about is that Prince always stayed based in Minneapolis and Chet Hansen, and his parents were from the South. You all, I don't know if many of you all knew that, if you ever read the books about him or interviews or something he and his sister and his friends talk about, it used to surprise me when they would talk about racism in Minneapolis. The country is not immune to racism. The world is not. So we just got to continue working hard on equality and defeating racism, and also what we deal with in the race. It's crazy that we deal with racism and then we deal with the prejudices within our race too. We just have to, you know, keep our fist up and just stay positive. And thank you to everyone that's involved in for humanity, for equality, and for people, for human beings to be treated right. And you all are talking to someone. I might have been born and raised in Mississippi, but like I said, my life totally, my cousin, I can't wait till she's on the show and she talk more about the protests. But I've always lived a multicolored life, a multicultural life, been born and raised in Mississippi, in Jackson, Mississippi, back and forth to Dallas, Texas. And then love me some Texoma. Also, so it is, and I'm looking forward to traveling, getting back to traveling, just taking road trips across America and even getting a passport so I could travel. Cousin Linda with one of my besties, Daryl Smith, you know, and I need to go ahead and schedule his brother. I know back during the holiday season, he and I had talked about how he and his brother are ready to come on the show and talk about their life traveling the world and being founding members of Mrs. Man's Choir also. But remember, there, if you're in the Jackson area tomorrow, there's a peace rally conducted by Person Kenny Stokes. in Jackson. There'll be a march from Lanier High to the location on Palmero Drive. And also there will be a peaceful protest also. Now, Jackson, Mississippi is one of the pioneers of protest. We've been doing pretty good with the peaceful protest and pray that they continue to be good. Well, the governor and the mayor have warned, and also the police chief of Jackson have shown concern regarding keeping the protest peaceful. And they're making their points and they're keeping it peaceful. And being a pioneer, it's important for Mississippi and Memphis, Tennessee, and Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas, and Florida, and Georgia, to set the tones and set the good examples of how protests should be conducted. But shout out to those across the world that have been orchestrating amazing protests. And I know some start off peaceful, and that's not the organizers' fault that some riots and looting run off from those, because I'm sure their intentions were to keep the protests peaceful. But when emotions are involved and anger happens, you know, that's what happens. So hopefully we did take a look and love each other more. Prayfully, the black on black crimes and the crimes on each other will stop. I know once I covered a meeting, Dick Gregory, Cornel West, again, Kenny Stokes had conducted this and put together this event, because I was going to broadcast it on a public access show. But I remember covering the event, Stephanie Parker Weaver, when she was closely with Jane Evans, and working with Kenny Stokes. They all had conducted this nice event in the Georgetown community that I had videotaped. And because I was going to put it on air, but I never did. But many of you did get a chance to see it. But Dick Gregory, Cornel West, state leaders, community leaders, talked on the top of crime. And when they spoke on black crime, Dick Gregory especially, it's not just black on black crime, it's white on white crime, it's Hispanic on Hispanic crime. Wherever in your community is crime committed against each other must stop. So back to what they called in, and thank you so much, our friend from the Midwest and the Deep South, for sharing it. I'm looking forward to you calling back in, especially when police expert Juan Cloyes in also. But the crimes committed, the race on, they must stop. We must reduce the crime. So hopefully and prayerfully, we not only address the issues of police brutality, but we learn how to control our emotions, put mind over matter. And I know locally here with the JPD department, I know they try to work on working with the community to, and the Hines County Sheriff Department, Lee Vance, which will be a part of the event tomorrow. They try to work with the community to be so emotional and jump to domestic violence and committing crimes on each other. So wow. We just need to schedule a roundtable discussion here on Culture Shock Entertainment Report. And like I said, each Friday of this month, we're going to discuss America's Truth Unveiled. And today's show has definitely unveiled truth. To recap the show, when the caller called in, his question was, do we have a national police department? That's a good question, because I asked police expert Juan about when will we hear from the National Police Association and the police unions. But each department is its own entity. because they're in their own municipality. So that is something for us to think about and something for us to put on our agendas of discussion when we meet. I'm a member of No Labels, a bipartisan organization that I have invited and encouraged you all to check out and become members of also. I'm a longtime member and recently a new top leader on the steering committee. If I'm not mistaken, I received an email overnight that we are having a Zoom meeting today with senators and Congress in D.C. So I will do my best to circulate that information for those of you to join our Zoom meeting today. Our steering committee meetings are Monday. We usually have members' meetings on Wednesdays, and on some Wednesday nights meet with Congress, lawmakers out of the in D.C., Problem Solvers Caucus, whom have visited the White House on three occasions since during this administration and early on. So, also Rock to Vote. Two bipartisan organizations that I am a member of that I think many of you would love to be members of if you are Republican, Democrat, Independent, or could care less, but really would like to become part of the political process and see how things are getting done and be a part of things getting done. Those are two organizations that are amazing. I received an email from Planned Parenthood yesterday, and the amazing photo of my friend Alice Clark, also one of our lawmakers here, who told me last year at the Thad Cochran Memorial to come see her. And I'm coming to see you soon. She wanted to talk to me about some certain issues regarding, I believe, abortions and Planned Parenthood, or just talk, period. We all need to come together and visit. You know, back to talking about training, the caller during the good old days, just visiting with people, you know, personally and professionally, you know, just checking in on people. That's important to do. We check in person and also throughout social media. It's important to do that good old-fashioned checking in. Black Lives Matter, I know, is having a virtual rally today. So you all check out their page also. Is the Black Lives Matter a political agenda or not? They're providing important information. Black lives do matter and all lives matter. So it's important for us to know what's going on with the organizations that are influencing our belief system and also trying to make a difference. There are pros and cons to all organizations, so it's important for us to know what's going on. On Monday, I am a longtime Republican. On Monday, I'll be a part of Independent Thinking, Open-Minded, the conservative. On Monday, we'll be a part of a Mississippi GOP club virtual meeting on Monday with Lieutenant Devin Hoseman and lawmaker Trent Kelly, I believe. But I know Lieutenant Governor will be on the call, and most of the Republican organizations and committees. And I would love it if Campus America would come back. I had an awesome time working and campaigning for the Mississippi GOP also this past November, and was looking forward to it. The election season and the pandemic has hit and have delayed things and canceled things. The Neshoba County State Fair has been canceled, which was announced early yesterday morning, late Wednesday evening also. And you guys know, that is a big deal. I've never been. I had wanted to attend last year. That's a big deal, especially not only for family fun, but for politicians, Democrats and Republicans, to share their platforms. When Ronald Reagan announced he was running for president in the early 80s, where did he make his national announcement? At the Neshobe County State Fair. Pete Perry was there, the chairman of the Republican, Hines County Republican Party. He was there. But yes, and many others. But this has been an amazing broadcast. It's almost time to conclude the program. I thank the caller for calling in. That was amazing points that he brought up. Something for us to think about, something for us to research too. Who knew about those crimes being committed against law enforcement officers in Baton Rouge? And then it's the David Dorn. There's so much, and there was a wasn't an law enforcement officer murdered like in California during a riot too on duty? I know not his name. So I have some researching to do. But again, I love and condolences to the George Floyd family and the Sean Reed family, Breonna Taylor family, and those that are unnamed and stories that we don't hear. Like the here in the city of Jackson, it'll be part of the protest in front of the governor's mansion on Saturday at 3. Kenny Stutz event will meet up at Lanier High School, 833 March past my childhood home where we lived. So I was age of 7. March to Palmyra, and then meet up at 12, and then a peace rally was started too. Oh, and again, a shout out to Scar, informing to check out his music. I haven't been amazed. I haven't been listening. I didn't know if I had permission to play any of his new music. Do I have permission to play any and all of his music? He said for us to check out the song Honesty. Well, he told me to check it out, but let's all check out the song Honesty on Scar's music, and he's on iTunes and Spotify and all the music networks. And Kultrshock, Inc., KULTRESHOKENT _ best at yahoo.com. KULTRESHOKENT _ best at yahoo.com. When you send in your awesome music, because that's what I'm doing. I have a lot of music, and I am uploading the music. Send it in MP3, WAV, WAV, and WMA file. Okay? And I have a podcast on Springer also, and I'll add it to my Springer podcast that will be coming off a hiatus very soon. And save the number. You never know when you want to call in. Doing live broadcast, 646-787-1578 is the guest co-host, the listener call-in number. Also, create a Talk Radio listener profile so you can chat with me in the chat room, chat with us, guests. Also, you know, create a profile so you can not only interact with Kultrshock Entertainment Reports, but also throughout the blogtalkradio.com community. So big shout out to the staffers here and my cohorts here at blogtalkradio.com also. What an awesome show. This is the first of the series for this month on Friday called America's Truth Unveiled. And did we not go in on unveiling important truths? So we're unveiling the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there are some good truths. There's some bad, and definitely what we've been seeing too much of. So it's about unveiling and right and wrong. But number one, facing the truth and not being in denial. actuality. And like Ron Carbo often advises, going within ourselves, going in ourselves. On Sunday, author, self-publisher, Sean Alexander Hamilton will be returning for part two of our talk regarding his life as author, self-publisher, and his three books, Defeating Financial Anger, Understanding and Mending Broken Hearts, and his most recent release, Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them. And all three books can be purchased on Amazon. And those are reading. Culture Shock Entertainment Report's Reading Book Club. Those are our books that I'm requesting you to read. Looking forward to y'all calling in on too at 4 o'clock. There will be a show on tomorrow, but definitely giving you the heads up, reminding you that part two will happen on Sunday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time on Prince's birthday. Happy birthday weekend in memory of Prince. Left have been, and you know what, because there were like big plans at Paisley Park for this weekend too, for the celebration of Prince's birthday. But sending out much birthday love to Paisley Park and in memory of Prince, his birthday weekend. So I know you all, some of you are probably saying, oh my God, we're going to hear so much Prince this weekend. And a big shout out to J-Rod. He's coming on the show. Roy Jules. Julian's Ride. Big shout out to he and his new song and for a new tour. He's all ready for all these shutdowns to end so he can get back on tour. We Are One. If you have not heard the song, have not seen the video, yes, yours truly, make a cameo appearance in his newest video, We Are One. It's I've shared it throughout my social media. Check him out, Julian Stefani, on Facebook. Check out his YouTube channel also, based in Portland, Oregon. Awesome song, awesome video. We Are One, and yes, we are one. We are one. Awesome song, and he invited many of his friends to be a part of the video, and I'm one of those friends to make a cameo, holding up my number one finger. So it's an awesome video. Just amazing. If you haven't heard it, check it out. It will be shared on the show. He's coming to the show. He's excited to come onto the show. He and I were supposed to talk on yesterday. We're going to talk today. And so we're going to have a hype, fun show in the midst of all this craziness we've been talking about, because it is an entertainment show, but it's an important topic to discuss. But we're going to have some fun. His video, it's touching. So check it out.